Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
What superstar is leaving the WWE? Did AJ defeat Magnus? And what's going on with the WWE Network? All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get Ryan to the news. So Kurt Angle recently did an interview and he stated that his contract is up in within the next 8 months and he may be open to a WWE return. Is this stating that he is coming back or is he just testing out the waters?
Leverage. Plain and simple. He works for TNA. I'm sure he gets a pretty penny there. And he is just using this as a way to say, hey, guys, WWE would still want me. And so if you don't show me the money, then I could potentially leave. I think that Kurt Angle will probably come back to WWE. In fact, I would say now so more than ever, I could potentially see him back in WWE before the end of the year.
Ooh, that would be a big thing, with the talking about the WWE Network. Maybe he'd be more interested in doing a show or something like that. But I would like to see him come back just for one more match and actually be in the real Hall of Fame. So Mae Young may be on her deathbed. What's some interesting news has been happening over the last few days about this. Can you enlighten us, Aaron?
Mae Young is 90 years old, she's dying pretty much of old age. She's had a great life, Fabulous Moolah, one of her longtime tag team partners, somebody who she trained actually. She's already passed. I think it was like 4 years ago she passed on. And, she's old. And so by the time that this comes out, she actually probably will unfortunately have passed. But she had a really long life, really great life. And, the only unfortunate thing that most wrestling fans will remember her for, you know what it is?
The hand.
The hand.
The hand, unfortunately.
So, Andy,
but one thing to point out real quick about what she did, though, is that she actually wrestled from 39 to 2010. Very interesting. Now, the one thing that I'm really devastated about is that Caitlyn has decided to leave the WWE. Now, my thoughts on this is that she is at a great age. She just got engaged. She's going to be pursuing other options. It looks like it's going to be dealing with her fiance's supplemental company, if I'm correct. Supplements. Mm-hmm. I think that's what he does. So she's decided to do that. She's probably saved all of her money, too. It didn't seem like she was a needy person. She just kind of, she didn't need a lot of things. But it's kind of sad because she was one of the last good female wrestlers. And now she's gone. So
the majority of good female wrestlers do leave WWE, as we have found out. Now, Andy, another bit of information for this week is that the Ultimate Warrior is all but confirmed for WrestleMania 30 and for the Hall of Fame. So, there's speculation right now that he is going to be one of the marquee people for this year's Hall of Fame. What do you think about that?
Pretty interesting. At one point, I remember that they're on the outs. They actually made a self-destruction of Ultimate Warrior, and WWE basically gave him the finger in the nicest way possible. But it's one of those things.
And not in the nicest way possible. I mean, they trashed him. That was the first time I've ever seen something where it's like, wow, they really hated this guy. And what's funny about that DVD, small tangent, it would be my top three favorite wrestling videos of all time, easily. Probably my top two, I would even say. I mean, it is one of my favorites. I absolutely love it. I really do.
Okay. Well, they did bash him a lot, but it's interesting because what's best for business is bringing Ultimate Warrior back. I'm just wondering when they're going to announce the fact that he's going to be either in the Hall of Fame or at WrestleMania 30. When?
You believe that he is Hall of Fame worthy?
No. And it's the same thing. I don't think Bill Goldberg is either. And that's because they don't care about the business. They care about themselves. Very selfish guys. And, also Goldberg would always state that he didn't do for the business, he did for the fans. But yet, I can guarantee that if he was never put in the Hall of Fame, he would whine and complain about it. And I think Warrior, to a certain extent, I think he realizes what he did wrong. And the first step was, you know, putting him in WWE 2K14. That was the first step. And I think now, you know, I think after a while, you could say that you hate someone for so long, and then you just realize it's not worth it anymore. Let's see if we can make some money together. And I think that's what this case is here.
I would agree with that. So, Andy, the other thing that happened this week, Batista has signed, or this, not this week, but just in general, Batista signed a 2-year contract, which is interesting because, you know, there was speculation he was only going to have one run, which was going to be WrestleMania, and they were going to call it quits. But now there's the potential that he could be wrestling for 2 years. Do you think it's going to be wrestling 2 years?
He's not
going to
be wrestling, dude. He's going to maybe wrestle for 3-4 months, maybe at the longest go to SummerSlam, and then he's done. He's, I think, 44, 45. He's old and not and he's not like a good old, if that makes sense. Some wrestlers can go, like, look at Sting. I mean, he still can do it. Batista never put on the greatest matches. He was just kind of there. That's my personal opinion on him.
I do not think that he put on great matches, but I think that he drew some money, though.
He drew some, but not enough to sign him to like a big, you know, like a long, I guess this is not long term, but not, I bet you he's getting paid a lot of money, and I don't think they're going to see the money returned.
They're not going to see a good return on investment, and they may not, but I think that one final run could be really good. I think that you could put him in some pretty high profile matches, and I think that he could, you know, maybe help reinvigorate a little bit more. So I think that'd be interesting. I mean, he could be put in a match with Ryback, you know, if he's not in the doghouse.
Well, he's still in the doghouse for what he just did to Ziggler. I mean, he clotheslined him so hard and was so stiff that it actually knocked Ziggler out. And they, when the ref went over to say something to him, he was mumbling. He was completely disoriented. And it actually made me a little upset about that, because he's supposed to be this big guy, but then he decides to hurt a wrestler that is, I think, at his prime right now. As yeah. The WWE should be using him for other things, and they're not. But he's in his prime. He reminds me of Mr. Perfect, actually, a lot. Kurt Hennig.
Yeah.
And the way he takes the outrageous bumps. The funny thing is, thinking about it, you compare the two, it's very similar.
He doesn't have as much of the size, but he has really good charisma. He has a good look to him. And yeah, I actually really like Dolph Ziggler.
And at one point, Ziggler was the champion.
Yeah.
It was a paper
40
champion.
Days.
And you can definitely see that at WWE Network. But we'll talk about that for our weekly topic. So let's just move on to WWE program for this week. So Raw went old school. Did you like it, Aaron?
I did. I actually like when they do these theme shows. I think I said that about TNA. I liked when they did, Destination X. You know, they're doing Genesis next week. You know, I like when they have these themed shows that make them special. And the only thing I don't like is I don't like how every Raw is 3 hours. Where this one, if it was 3 hours, it'd be like, oh, you know, it's going to be really special because it is, you know, a 3-hour Raw and it's old school and all that fun stuff. I like them. I think that they're fun and they bring some really nice talents back. You know, there were some really good old school people there that I was like, oh, wow. You know, they still look good. In particular, Ted DiBiase. I got to say, like, he still sounds the exact same. And I feel that he looks very, very similar to what he looked like 20 years ago. So I would say that he was probably one of my favorites to see.
20. I'd almost say 30 years ago.
I mean, well, I was
25. Well, I'll say 25. But he is not aged. He still, I mean, he could tell he's put a little bit of weight on, but it's weird when you look at some guys, you're just like, whoa, what happened to you? And he's like, can you wrestle still? Like one of those things. I will say the one thing that I was really excited to see was when the music hit, and I was like, whose music is that? And I was like, I was puzzled. Then Jake the Snake came out. And he's looking good, I will say. He came out, did the snake spot, and of course Ambrose was trying not to laugh, as everyone can see, because he was putting the snake right. He's like, "Come on, come on, come on."
Yeah, he Anyway, but so it sounds like Jake the Snake was your favorite to see then.
I liked every one of them. I didn't like the segment they did with Bad News Barrett. I thought that was stupid.
And we'll talk about him, you know, in future.
I heard he's going to shows, TNA.
So anyway, Andy, what did you think of Daniel Bryan? He debuted with the Wyatts. What did you think of him?
This is ridiculous. I would love to hear the payoff on this. What is going to be the big payoff? Could it be somehow he's able to screw Randy Orton out of the title? What is the payoff? That's what I'm trying to figure this out. I don't get it. I just don't get the payoff.
You know, I said I gave my, you know, thing that they could do for next week, which they will not do. Or I did that last week for what they should do in a few weeks. They won't do that. I got to say, I really feel that this is like Triple H's brainchild of, this guy is so over that we have to do something to get somebody else over who we think will make more money. And I think that's what this is. I think that they looked at this and said, Daniel Bryan is beloved by the internet, beloved by fans that go to the arena. He has an awesome catchphrase. But Bray Wyatt, though, he looks like somebody who could be the next Undertaker. So why don't we push him and we'll put Daniel Bryan with him in order to help elevate Bray Wyatt? And that's what I feel is happening. I really feel that this is, I don't think that there's going to be a good outcome.
When was the last time they tried this and everyone was like, why are you doing that? And then all of a sudden they switched it a few weeks later. Do you remember the wrestler?
Zack Ryder? Is that who you're talking about?
No, we're going back to, I think, 2002 when they turned Stone Cold Steve Austin heel and then it didn't work. And guess what happened? He's back as a tweener again. Not a face, but a tweener. Because that's pretty much what Stone Cold is.
Stone Cold was—he was not a heel, you know. Daniel Bryan could be a heel though. The problem is that they put him in this stupid storyline that's making no sense right now. And I will recant. I will. I have no problem. I will eat my crow if in a 2 months, 3 months that this gets rectified. My issue is I don't believe that it will. I believe that this is not going to get rectified. I believe that's going to be it's going to be an ongoing thing. I think we're going to complain about it a lot. So
I don't think they had an idea what they're going to do anyways on it.
So I want to ask you your thoughts though about CM Punk putting over Roman Reigns cleanly ish.
They think Roman Reigns is going to be the next Rock is what it boils down to. And I'm going to be Bad News Barrett right here. It's not going to happen. He can't wrestle. He's going to be a superstar. No, that's the thing. I don't like his look. He's like, believe in the Shield. You heard him. That has
nothing to do with his look. That's his voice.
Yeah,
so
but
you
the
don't
thing
like
is, The Rock is not a good wrestler, but
he's very passable.
He's above average. He's better than Cena. I will say that. If you give Cena a B, Rock gets a B plus. You know, but Cena's more like a C plus. Rock's B minus.
Yeah, I probably agree with that.
Okay, but The Rock can talk. That was his strong point, not his in-ring skills. Roman Reigns has okay in-ring skills, you know, C-, D-plus, but he stinks on the mic. So they have to improve his mic skill somehow. How do you do that? You have to do that first. You can't make him a champion or make him big. I mean, I think the Usos, of all the people, those guys are good on the mic and they can wrestle. Roman Reigns.
But they're not as marketable, though.
They're not.
Roman Reigns has a look.
But he has a look. The thing is, you have to teach him act. He has to be able to act. And he's not a good actor.
And I'm not disagreeing with you on there, but he has a very, very good look. And he has family that's in the business. I mean, come on, let's face it. He's what, the cousin of The Rock? So, yeah, he has, you know, there's going to be a little bit of nepotism there. But he has, out of all three members of the Shield, he has the best look, plain and simple. Ambrose is the best on the mic. And Rollins is the best wrestler. That's why all three of them work together.
Rollins is still better than most people on the mic. He has a lisp, I think. A lisp. But that's it. I mean, if you can look past it, I mean, even when he was Tyler Black, it didn't matter. He still could talk. I think he's better than what he was, you know, in like Ring of Honor or in anything, actually.
Oh, and I'm not disagreeing with you there, but I think that Reigns, I hope that they don't Ryback this, I'm going to use that as a verb now, just like I used Randy Orton. I hope they don't Ryback this, because if they do, they are going to regret it. And then you're going to have somebody who they push to the moon and is going to fall straight to mid-card hell. And that's the problem. That's what WWE does. That's why with Big E, and I said it last week, they haven't forced him down our throats. And I think that he's going to be the next breakout star. Not this year, but I bet in 2-3 years, he has a very strong potential to be the world heavyweight champion.
Interesting side note about Big E. His father is actually a minister, and that's why he has that weird voice. And they were also saying that he doesn't spend any money. He just he's very frugal, even though he's making a bunch of money. Now, stating that, I believe that he will be the next Rock. I believe that he'll be the marketable guy. I think he'll be more marketable. I think you'll eventually, mark my words, I would not be surprised if you have Roman Reigns, Big E Langston headlining a pay-per-view. At least a Raw.
I would disagree, but we got so much more to talk about, Andy, so let's thank our sponsor.
HostGator, are you a blogger, a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. They offer unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands-down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite at your web hosting costs. Make sure you check out Section 86 Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top and save big on items at WWEshop.com. So let's move on to Impact Wrestling for this week. EC3 is getting a major put. I don't care about EC3. What's next?
You know, the thing is, storyline wise, there wasn't as much really to talk about other than EC3. He attacks Samoa Joe. They have a mini match, and then, you know, interference and all that other fun stuff happens. And he's taking on Sting, of course, next week. So, I mean, they're really pushing him quite a bit.
Pushing Sting again, though, but I think Sting's basically pushing himself out.
He might be. I mean, I think he's going to be helping out these younger wrestlers, and I think that's what they're trying to do. So we'll see about that. But Andy, obviously the biggest news, Magnus versus AJ Styles. You know, everyone pretty much knew after AJ did not sign the contract, everybody knew that AJ was going to lose, which he did. However, though, there was a ton of interference, and I mean a ton of interference. And they did this, I guess, maybe to make AJ look a little bit stronger, that he needed to get, you know, beaten by, you know, Robert Roode and Bad Influence and Rockstar Spud and EC3 and all of them in order to actually win, you know, for Magnus to win.
What would have been, I actually had a really cool idea that this is what TNA should have done. They should have just signed AJ Styles, period. But here's where I think it would be really interesting. You have it show to the live crowd that Magnus won the title, and then you do something there where the lights go out for like 2 or 3 seconds and come back on, and then have him look around. And what you could have done is right as soon as he went 1, 2, you cut to that segment, so you don't know that Magnus who won the title, and you could have cut to an ending scene.
Oh no!
You could have no. You could have cut to a scene where AJ takes both somehow, like, because they can cut away so they don't show the titles, and then they cut to AJ Styles having both titles and riding off on a motorcycle.
Do you have then any idea how
that would have ticked so many people off? But the best part about that would be that then you're continuing. People won't realize. They're like, wait a minute, but I saw it live. This is what happened. Oh no, but they cut this segment and did that. They could have done that. Oh, and I see what I mean? So the live crowd would see one thing, but then the people on TV would see something completely different. That would have been genius to do. And then,
you know what, actually, I'll say I might agree with you a little bit there. Although if I was in the arena and I saw that they did a 1-2 and then the lights went out or whatever,
no.
I would be a little mad about that, because I would think, wow, why are you doing something like that? Why are you denying me the ability to find out who the actual champion is?
That's the thing.
It would actually make me a little mad.
No, that's what I'm stating, though. The live crowd. OK, the live crowd does see the 1-2 and the 3, and then they cut up with Magnus holding the titles. That's what they could have done. They could have still done the same thing, but then all of a sudden they could have had the lights come down and then they kick back up and they could have been looking around like, what the heck just happened here? And then like have Madness look shocked for a second. And then during that time, they could have actually edited it. So then you could have seen, so it'll look like on TV that, hey, what happened? It was only 1-2. We never saw a 3 count when you did. So that was my thoughts anyway, on the whole thing.
Well,
so.
I don't know. I would just say that, you know, this was very predictable, which was very unfortunate because these two are both talents. I think Magnus is a very talented individual. AJ Styles obviously is. And I really wish that they could have put on a really good match. And I wish they could have put on a match that was live and one where we didn't expect what the outcome was going to be. Because guess what? This was next week and AJ Styles is still in a contract. It would have been a much better match, in my opinion.
Nah. Anyways.
So, anyway, Andy, let's move on, though, to the biggest news of the week. You know, we kind of been steamrolling through some of the stuff so we can get to this, which is the WWE Network, which is a huge, huge piece of information. So, you know, let's just go over some of the points and you know, we may
first
touch
off,
on
if- the people who got to see the press conference live. It was awesome. It was an hour long. They went over a lot of stuff. The one thing that they basically pointed out that I don't know if it's true or not, but they said they made the pay-per-view model, as in they're the ones who made pay-per-view popular.
They did not make the pay-per-view model. That was done way.
I didn't think they did either, but they said that they're the ones who made it popular. And I was like, I don't know about that.
Well,
but
they could maybe say that, but actually NWA and WCW were the ones that did because Starrcade was huge in during Thanksgiving. So, but anyway, the announcement was made, and let's just talk about the big thing, which is $10 a month, $9.99 a month. You do have to sign up for a 6-month commitment every single time currently. So February, you have to do a 6-month commitment. That's going to take you until August. In fact, it's actually the week after SummerSlam, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
So, which is kind of funny, but, so you'll get 6 pay-per-views though, for $60. I mean, what do you think of the price? Were you surprised at it being $10?
I thought they were going to come out and say that it was going to be like $15 is what I expected. And I expected them not to partner with MLB, but I pictured that they would partner with Netflix because Netflix seems to be the only service that does not have issues of going down. Maybe a handful of times here and there I've actually experienced it, but that's it. MLB, I was told that they're the better ones. They're better than NFL, NBA, NHL. They're better than all of them. So that's fine, you know, that they're doing that. I was just kind of hoping it would be with Netflix because if you're with Netflix and you have the portal to go through the WWE Network, you are on every single device pretty much out there. You're on smart TVs. Mm-hmm. You're on any Xbox. That's why I really hope they went through Netflix. The fact they're doing their own app, I think they're getting hurt to a certain extent because they're having to have MLB help them out with their network. So that means they got to pay them a pretty penny. They're probably.
Well, I mean, yeah, they do. But so the pricing you said you were expecting about $15.
Yeah, so make a long story short, $10. I'm excited.
I was expecting about $13 a month is what I was expecting. Like I was $12.99 is what my thoughts were. When they said $9.99, I was thinking, wow, like wow, the fact that you can do that. And the interesting thing is I've seen posts about this on Engadget, Gizmodo, Joystick, and Kotaku. So I've seen it on tech sites and video game sites. And this is interesting because then there are comments below of people posting about it. And of course, there's some people, you know, who are like, oh, wrestling's stupid, blah, blah, blah. But then you have somebody like there was one in particular that really I drew to, which was this guy said, I haven't watched wrestling since 2005, but I am going to pay for this. And then I've seen other people who say, I've only had cable because of WWE. I can now get rid of cable and pay the $10 a month instead. And I've seen so many people talk about how I haven't paid for a pay-per-view in 10 years, or the only pay-per-view I buy is WrestleMania. You know, there are people who are talking about how it, like, think of it this way, right? Business model wise, you haven't bought a pay-per-view in 10 years, just plain and simple. You haven't, right? So if you do this and the people are like, oh yeah, $10 a month, I have no problem paying that. Let's just go back in time 10 years, right? WWE would have made $1,200 off of you. if they had the WWE app, because they'd be like, yeah, $10 for the app, and you know, which gets me all the shows, gets me pay-per-views, all that stuff. I'll pay for that. That's $1,200 WWE just lost out on, because they weren't going to buy it no matter what. And think of it this way. Before we started doing the show, how many pay-per-views did you buy a year, Andy?
Not many.
One?
Two. Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. That was it.
Okay. You bought two pay-per-views a year. So you gave them, you know, $100, right? A year. Let's just, you know.
Yeah, about 100.
About 100, right? So, but only you, right? Only you. Not me. Not any of the friends. Only you. So if you had people over to watch the pay-per-views, you know, they didn't get any extra revenue. But with something like this, I actually think that the $9.99 is a smart price point to go in at. The only thing that worries me is that they may raise it in the years to come. And not by much. Like, next year it'll be $11, then the year after 12, then 13. That's the only thing that worries me a little bit.
Yeah. And I guess I'm trying to think of... See, I look at certain aspects of why I'm excited about it. But I also looked... I watched the video multiple times, and they showed what the stream would look like. It's usually when you watch TV, it's 60 frames a second. Their stream was maybe 20. And that's a big deal to me. I want to be able to see it so it looks like I'm watching it on TV. I don't want to have the problems that you would run into. Like, even watching Netflix. I mean, you're watching stuff. I don't know if you're watching at 30 frames a second. But if they can get at least 30 frames a second and have the quality still good, be worth it. But when they showed the Rock Cena match, that was my biggest problem with it. But the whole thing, the fact that it's $10, you got to sign a 6-month commitment, which is going to be interesting to see what happens if you decide after 2 months you don't want it anymore. I guess I'm excited from that aspect, because I want to go back and watch some WCW pay-per-views. I'm sorry.
And I agree. I definitely do too. And I think that's what I'd be using it the most for, is pay-per-views, and not so much for WCW or WWE Raws, but for the pay-per-views, because that's going to tell the story, the lead up and everything. That's where most titles are going to change hands. Those are going to be the most exciting things. Now, Andy, I wanted though to just kind of talk about this. It's starting the day after Elimination Chamber. You can pre-order at 9 a.m. and then it goes live at 9 p.m.
No. Actually, you can pre-order it and start watching at that moment. You can watch the video on demand stuff.
The facts did not say that. The facts said that you can order it at 9 a.m. Eastern, and then it starts at 11:05 Eastern later that day. That's what the facts say. I mean, you know, unless something else may have came out today or the day before. I mean, that could have happened. But either way, Andy, I mean, it doesn't matter. That's not like a big talking point. So let's just, you know, keep going. It said that not all content's going to be available from the start. You know, so we're not going to have everything. It's not going to be the entire catalog. One of the other big things, too, all 12 pay-per-views are going to be streamed live, including WrestleMania. That does not say, though, that it said this year's WrestleMania. Who knows? Next year it might be different, you know? So
I believe they'll cut that pay-per-view out, or they'll raise it at that time. Now, just to clarify, it's that live programming on the network will actually will begin at 11:06 Eastern Standard Time for a post-up show. So the video on demand is going to be available right at 8 a.m.
So anyway, so the 12 pay-per-views, that's a big deal. That, of course, that's $120 basically you're paying for 12 pay-per-views and all the other stuff. I mean, that's a pretty big deal. I mean, what do you think of that?
Well, I think the bigger deal, besides just the fact that you're going to have all 12 pay-per-views on there, and you have all the back catalog for ECW and WCW and WWE pay-per-views, is the fact that they're actually going to show Chris Benoit, but then they're going to have a disclaimer at the bottom about him. I think that's also major news, too, because how many times, I mean, just getting stuff from WWE Classics, how they would change the camera angle so it would not reflect Chris Benoit on the screen. Or if he said something, that would be cut, which I find interesting. The one thing I did think it was really interesting also is they said that same problem, they're going to have issues with music. Didn't realize that was such a huge deal, but apparently it is. But yeah.
Well, you think Undertaker, Roland. He used Limp Bizkit's Roland, remember? Right? And that's royalties that they have to pay. And so if you think about it in that regard, do they want to pay Limp Bizkit money, you know, every time somebody watches Undertaker during that time?
Yeah,
no.
Maybe $1 a month you'd pay Limp Bizkit.
I mean, I'm sure Fred Durst could use it, but Either way, the Chris Benoit thing, though, I agree. I think that's kind of a big deal. The fact that he's going to be on there, he's not going to be showcased, and it's probably they're not going to. I wonder how it'll work in terms of type in Sting, and then you could actually pull up everything about Sting. I would bet that you could not type in Chris Benoit and would put in, you know, oh, Chris Benoit was in this WCW pay per view. It would be like, who? did you mean Perry Saturn? Is that who you meant? You know.
That would be hilarious if that's actually what it says.
It did say that it will have a replay of Raw after it airs, but it did not specify if it was East or West Coast. My gut would say West Coast. That's when it would actually go up there, because obviously if it was directly after the East Coast one, then someone such as myself doesn't have to watch USA, and I could just instead go to the WWE app and watch Raw, you know, as it unfolds pretty much.
That's the other thing, is what are they going to run during SmackDown or Raw?
Well, they don't run anything. Netflix doesn't run anything.
But remember, they said they'll have the live channel with programming going all the time. So what are they going to run during that time? Are they going to run?
They'll just have some random old wrestling like AWA, you know, for an hour or two.
Now, the other thing that also stinks is that if you're on the West Coast, the live show, in quotes, that they have, you're going to miss out on.
I don't know. I actually think that the live show for the West Coast, they're not going to change the feed. So a small backstory, you know, 4 years ago, that when you had an HD feed, the HD feed was actually just an East Coast feed. And they didn't have an East or a West Coast most of the time, you know, for like TNT, TBS, you know, USA, for example, it was just a HD feed. And then, of course, as more people got an HD TVs, they said, oh, we have to break these up and get an East Coast and a West Coast feed. So that happened, because I used to be able to watch Raw at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock, you know, when it was the 3 hour version. Mm-hmm. With an internet streaming thing, they're not going to do that. They're going to just say at 9 Eastern, this is what I'm playing. You know, no matter what, 9 Eastern or 6 Pacific, you know, or 4 o'clock Hawaiian time. That's what's going to play. So, you posed an interesting question, which is about SmackDown. Do you think it's going to go live?
I believe that after WrestleMania, they're going to go live. They're going to have wrestling on Mondays and Tuesdays, which I think is a mistake, because I think you should have it on Friday and Monday still. But if they're going to get the most bang for their buck, they're probably going to have to go on Tuesdays. So they're going to SmackDown one way or the other is going to go live. It's just wondering, when are they going to tape Main Event? When are they going to tape Superstars? Because those are going to be featured on the network, which is really cool. But when is SmackDown going to be taped? Because as most people know, they go Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. They go 4 days. Mm-hmm. I think it would be beneficial to do those 4 days, because – like I said, everyone goes on the road Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then on Monday, bam, there you go. You have your show. And what would be even better is if they actually tape like Superstars or Main Event, they actually taped it on before Raw. Like if you tape one on Saturday, one on Sunday. But I'm assuming that would actually be a lot of work, not thinking about it, but...
Well, yeah, it would be an awful lot. So I don't know what they're going to do with SmackDown. I agree, though. I think it should be a Tuesday thing. I think Friday is actually a bad time slot in general, because, you know, let's face it, you know, for Friday, you know, going out to dinner with my wife, going out to hang out with friends. Guess who doesn't watch SmackDown on Friday nights? This guy. All right. I mean, I don't. And Saturday, maybe, if I have time. But typically, I'll be honest with you, SmackDown sits on my DVR until maybe late on Sunday, maybe Monday. And even then, I fast forward through the majority of it. You know, I mean, that's really what SmackDown typically is. SmackDown is a fast forward show. It's not a live watching show like Raw is. Raw is a live one. But when SmackDown airs on Tuesdays, which it does sometimes on Sci-Fi, I watch SmackDown live because it's typically live. A better show.
Well, yeah.
Well, it's also better.
But I believe that will take – I think the fact that them going live will be some way in the deal that they work with who, if they stay with NBC or if they go to CBS, who knows. But I think that's going to work into the deal. But it's also – the other thing also, the fact that they're going to have replays of Raw and SmackDown. I'm wondering if it's the Hulu version, because of course Hulu takes out a bunch of stuff that usually, you know, 30 minutes worth of stuff. I'm hoping they don't go that route, but they always
do. I don't think that they would. I really don't. But Andy, the last talking point I want to talk about is they are expecting 1 to 2 million subscribers by the end of the year. What would you think? What number would you say?
I would say at the high end, 600,000.
Really?
At the high end.
At the high end. So how many people do you think are going to subscribe to the network in the next 4 months? You had to guess.
Okay. Initially, they're probably going to hit 1 million. And then it's after SummerSlam, it's going to go down 600,000. And then I think that you're going to see them peak or stay around the 350,000.
Let me rephrase that. Net new, in the span of a year, how many people will subscribe?
I will say 600,000 in total.
Only 600,000 people are going to subscribe to the network in a year?
I believe that.
Wow. You and I are going to disagree on this. I am going to expect it to be 1 million. In fact, I would go so far as to say probably 1.2, I think. I think with that type of a value, I actually am expecting day one, their servers are going to crash and that we're going to get a free month of WWE programming. I'm not even joking. Go ahead.
Dude, call me Nostradamus. You know why it's going to happen? I can tell you why. Okay. It's in
February. Not going to be prepared for it.
No. It's not just that, Aaron. It's going to be something done on purpose, because if you can start watching the video on demand library, of course I'm going to have to go to the Super Brawl where, if I'm correct, Dean Malenko comes out as whatever his name is.
Sequel play.
Yeah. That I'm going to want to watch that first off, because it's digitized and it's going to look way better. So I'm going to want to watch that. But at 8 a.m., everyone's going to come there, sign up, crash the servers. Okay. Let's say that happens. All right. And then over the next few days, they keep crashing and keep crashing over and over again. They'll say, we're going to give you a free month. So then your subscription ends in September, right? Okay, so that means if you renew it, it renews at March 24th then, right? Okay, you miss WrestleMania. You have to pay for it. So if you want WrestleMania again, you got to pay for the same cycle again.
Yes.
So that's why. Okay, what's your notes, Trumps? I'm sorry I interrupted.
Anyway, so as I was saying, I am expecting about 1.2, and the reason why is because of the value. When you see people who go, really, it's only that much? You know, I'd be interested in doing that. I think that there are so many wrestling fans out there who do not buy pay-per-views, who may even illegally stream it, who go, you know what? For $10, I'll buy it. I will buy it for $10. And so I'm actually expecting, like I said, 1.2 million. That would be my expectations. Net new, 1.2 million.
That's a lot. How many subscribers do you think Netflix has?
Oh, tens of millions.
31 million.
Okay, yeah, tens of millions. So 31 million. I would be willing to say 1.2 million by the end of the year. That's what I would say. But wow. Like I said, I think that's also going to crash. But Andy, we need to wrap it up. I got to ask you. It sounds like you like the app, you like the programming. It sounds like this is a win for you. What do you think about cons? Like, are there any cons that you can come up with as to why this could be a bad idea?
There's not going to be that many subs, believe me. Here's why. Hulu has five.
Well, that's your con. Well, I mean, service and everything. Right, you know, right, so give me a con. Right,
We moved on. Okay. My cons for the service is that not everything is going to be available right at the moment. My cons are going to be the fact that I don't think they're going to be able to push 30 frames or even 60 frames a second. I believe that their 720p will not even look close to what Netflix puts out. I also am a fan of sound. If I want to watch the WWE app or watch the WWE, I watch it in surround sound still. I'm one of those weirdos. I want to watch it in surround sound. If I have to listen to TNA Impact Wrestling again and watch it just in 2.0, I'm going to be a little upset. And I believe that's something they're going to have problems with at first. That's my biggest con, is the quality. I don't think I'll have a problem with, and I think the interface, I don't like it. That's my one thing. I do not like the interface too much. But, you know, it's a lot of wait and see. It's one of those things, but once we get it, we're going to have to play around with it. And then at the end of the week, we're going to have to do our recap and probably just have a special only on the WWE Network.
We might actually. Cons, I'm going to agree with you. I think that the frame rate, I think, can be a big issue. I really do. And of course, the quality of it. I think those are going to be the two biggest things, because at $10 a month, it's actually more than Netflix. And it may have less programming and less variety in programming, because this is only wrestling. I mean, this is only wrestling. And so you're not paying for romantic comedies and action and cartoons and stuff. I know. There's
I just started thinking about it. Are they going to run like infomercials at like between 3 and 6 in the morning?
They might. They might actually. But the biggest thing, like you said, I agree with you on those points. And I think the other big con is that if you are locked in for 6 months at $10 a month, you know, I think what happens if you use it and you're like, this is very poor quality, this isn't what I like, and I'm stuck with it now for 5 more months. You know, that's something that does concern me a little bit, because, you know, it, like with cell phone carriers, you can typically quit a cell phone carrier within 2 weeks if it isn't good. Like, let's say you have T-Mobile, but it doesn't work in your house. Well, you don't want T-Mobile then. You go back and you say, look, it just isn't working for me. I got to find somebody who does, you know? And I think that's something that worries me a little bit. Like, the quality is just really bad, or it doesn't work with your apps or your TVs. That's something that worries me a little. However, though, pros and cons. Pros are way high. Cons are very, very small. So I'm buying this day one. I will wake up early in order to buy this.
Definitely. And I will be going to work super early that day. Just out of curiosity, do you think that the 62 million homes have one WWE fan in? Do you think that's accurate?
No, I do not.
All right. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and ending the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.